It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game, here on this Wednesday, back in our normal time. He's Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, on the ones and the twos behind the glass. What's up, JoJo?
Just another beautiful day in our city, man. It's all right. Love it.
It is.
We got the schedule release going on. We got good people around us. Today's a great day, people.
You know, I kind of like the few days of game comes out here, game comes out there, but I'm ready for the full thing now. Tonight, 7 o'clock, get it out there, and then we can keep on moving on.
Yeah, it'll all be out like by noon probably, right? I mean, these guys love to break and leak these stories and let things know.
I remember probably
one year I got early because, there was a concert coming to – oh, One Direction was coming to Nissan Stadium in the fall. And we were able to figure out, like, a game. Who was it being played?
You want
to
get that?
Who was going to – yeah, right? Bill collectors. You know, they call and they say, is Joe Dublin there? I know exactly that they're not calling me. No, anyway, so they had to clear these fall schedules, I mean, for stadiums and everything. So I was able to figure, all right, so One Direction's coming to the Nissan Stadium at this time, so they're not going to play home game this time. They won't do that. So by deductive reasoning, you can kind of figure things out. But it's still fun.
Yeah, it is. And the rumor came out last night, Jordan Schultz, that the Titans will open their season on the road at Denver.
Does his dad own Starbucks?
I have no idea.
I think I read that somewhere when he got into somebody and they were like, I'm not going to drink Starbucks no more because I hate your son or something like that. It was crazy.
No, I don't know.
So at Denver, which is, I'm not a fan.
Oh, the Denver Broncos.
Thank you, Homer.
You don't mind it. I don't mind it.
I don't mind it. I think you take some pressure off, believe it or not. I think a young quarterback, if it is in fact Cam Ward, which we know it's going to be, starting the season, I think because, you know, you take a road trip, you're with your teammates, there's no distractions of home and all that stuff, and so you go out there and open the season against an upstart Denver team, and then maybe come back for week two. I did see again a rumor. I don't 100% trust it, but I was seeing at Cleveland week two floating around.
Where'd you see that?
Twitter.
Look at you, man. Yeah, so get it out there.
I don't know if I buy that.
Two games on the road to start off the season. I'm not a fan of that. I wish they'd have started at home. I just think it's good starting at home because you go through the routine. You go through everything. Sure. And you get the confidence. That's why college football teams, I like it when a college football team starts off with a lower level opponent. You go through everything. You go through the first team, second team, warm-ups. I mean, all that stuff's crucial. Now you're going out there, and how many times are we going to hear the altitude talk again, right? Oh, the altitude, you're 5,000 feet up. I'm sick of that already. But now you know what it is. You can't change it, so you go out there and you beat Denver and you get to start the season off that way.
Adam Vingan says, yes, Jordan Schultz is the son of Howard Schultz, who I believe was the CEO of Starbucks.
Okay. Yeah. Because I tweeted him last night that he broke the story, and I said it was broken 2 days ago by my friend at The Unathletic, Rick Merritt, and because of that, I'm just going to drink Dutch Brothers coffee.
You know what's going to be funny when you do that and somebody files a lawsuit against you?
What? Like, is he like, not an insider?
No, he is.
Okay,
but you're just gonna walk in one day and be like, "Well, I finally got hit with a lawsuit, trolling somebody on Twitter."
Oh well, man. As we all know, Twitter is not real life. So I'm not.
No,
I'll call our friend Blair Durham. I'm not worried about it. Got Blair on retainer, man.
He'll help you out.
Love Blair Durham.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He is.
So that's the only thing I have seen for the Titans at this point is that game. Thanksgiving afternoon, the Chiefs head to Dallas to take on the Cowboys.
I think that might right there set the record for the most watched.
That's going to be the most watched NFL game in history.
Yeah, regular season in history. Yeah, 100%. There's no doubt for that.
God, you know that like Detroit and then the there was a night game that was already leaked.
Rams and Bucks.
Yeah, okay. Rams and Bucks. But Detroit's like, well, everybody's going to be doing their dinner during our game.
Yeah, right. Oh, well, that's the way it is.
Like, I have a rule. Like, I tell my family, like, I will be anywhere you need me to be as long as it's before 2:30 Central Time.
Yeah.
Or 3 o'clock.
And by family, you mean Phil.
Well, Ricky, my mom, you know, Dr. Crane sometimes.
Few people like that. Remember you, there was like, I'm
you
here.
You get invited, but you know, you say you have to go somewhere.
I'm busy, man. That's my night. Listen, it was funny because you had said a few weeks ago, or last week, it's like, I'm hearing that it's going to be the Rams and Chargers on Thanksgiving night. I'm like, nobody in America.
No, the Rams and Titans.
I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. Or is it the Chargers and Titans?
Rams.
Okay, Rams and Titans. I was like, nobody in America wants to see that game on Thanksgiving night. You're already half asleep. That'll just do it for you the rest of the way.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I usually like the full primetime schedule comes out some point during the day. So I'm wondering if that's going to happen at some point. But I like that, you know, the networks are kind of giving you some breadcrumbs and leaking stuff out a little bit here and there. The Brazil game will be streamed for free exclusively on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah. So that's how you have to watch that game. So millions and millions. That's how they're going to get the 3 and 4 year olds that have already figured out YouTube
to do that.
Yeah, on their little tablets. Like, oh look, it's Patrick
smart,
Mahomes.
Right? I'm smart to do that.
Talking about the most watched game. There it is. Just YouTube's that search engine online. You could just watch anything.
That's true. Stream for free, and that's going to be who again?
Chiefs Chargers,
good
I think.
Lord,
they avoided the green this time.
But so is that a home game for who?
I guess the Chargers.
I'd be mad.
But I think with that, I'd have to go look. But I bet you the Chargers were going to have 9 home games. So it's probably one of those where they still get 8-8.
You're still losing a home game.
Oh yeah,
in this new schedule. I would not. If I'm a Chargers fan, I would not like that. The few that are out there.
Yeah, I'm about to say, like, how many of them are left?
Not many around.
A lot are still in San Diego, and you know, just
that's right,
kind of waiting around.
Wow,
the Chargers will be back in San Diego before time is done.
So, does that count? The Chiefs game count as a primetime game when they only get you only get 6?
I don't know. I mean, if it's the only game on, don't you consider that to be a primetime game?
I would think so. On that Friday night.
But, I mean, does the Thanksgiving game count towards the 6 for Dallas?
I have no idea.
Detroit?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Or is prime time, by definition, you know, after 6 o'clock at night?
I mean, think about this. I mean, there are really a quarter of the league that people really care about.
No,
we're not sitting around like this. And, I like the Saints a lot, but I'm not sitting around like, oh, who are the Saints going to play? Or who the Bucks going to play? Or who the Panthers? It's like 8 teams that they're really concerned about, that everybody wants to know about. And that's like collateral damage after those guys.
Pretty much, yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our question of the day, JoJo.
So, with the Titans schedule coming out, they are guaranteed 2 home games against these 2 teams, the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots. If you could only go to one of those 2 games, see Mahomes, who's this generational quarterback that everybody loves, or the return of Mike Vrabel to Nissan Stadium, which game are you going to? And off of that, a little sub-question.
Didn't know you were like that.
Dr.
Payback.
Crane.
Dr. Payback. Crane. You did that to me. Payback.
He did.
You did that to me.
Is Chase also head of HR here? Because if not, I got a meeting with Chase.
He's got some pull
after that. I have Chase the boss and the Chase the HR guy. I need to talk to Chase about Chase. Should they do, and we decided, the main question, Chiefs or Patriots, but should they do a video for Mike Vrabel when he comes back? We'll talk about it in the fall a lot, but that's part 2 of this.
Should they and will they? I mean, they're going to.
If
they don't, okay. You want to get? I kind of want to get into this now.
All right.
If they don't, shame on her, because you do it for everybody else. He's the second winningest coach in your franchise's history.
Okay.
And you're going to be Miss Petty and not even honor his existence, that he got your team with 91 players, the number 1 overall seed, got them to an AFC championship game. Now, I know they didn't win a Super Bowl.
Right.
But he won a lot of games for you, so hell yeah, they better give him a video.
I say absolutely not, for the simple fact that he's coming here to beat you.
Well, of course.
Right? Now, during the offseason, you want to do something, that's fine. But don't play a video for him. Don't. Don't give the fans a chance to cheer for him. Don't do it. That's my thing. Point, counterpoint. Chase, okay. You ignorant.
No, I just – look, I think they will. Because I think the other – to counter your point there, I think sometimes when they do those videos, they're doing it to try and get inside the guy's head. Now, that ain't going to work on Mike Vrabel.
Right.
He's probably going to do like a half-ass wave and, you know, then go about his business. But I think that's one reason why that whole thing started with teams.
All right. Currently, to the first question, do you think Patrick Mahomes is the Michael Jordan of the NFL right now?
Right now, yes.
So
when was the last time he played here?
2019.
Okay.
Would you pass up an opportunity? See, I'll always regret not seeing Michael Jordan play basketball. You only get a few chances to see Patrick Mahomes. So I think all of Vrabel coming back is fantastic. I mean, how often do you get to see a generational Michael Jordan quarterback in the National Football League come to your town?
Right. Yeah, I mean, to answer that question, I'd rather see Mahomes.
Yeah. But I mean, then
the Vrabel stuff will be cool, but I want to see Mahomes. Because, like, I can't remember if I went in 2019. I don't think I did. I've seen him play because I went to Kansas City.
Yeah.
But
Titans beat the tar out of him in 2019.
I don't remember. I don't remember if I went or not.
Wasn't that the game, or was that 21? I don't know, 19. 19 was a blocked field goal. That's 20, right.
I think the last time they played was Malik Willis, and it was like Sunday Night Football, and they almost beat him.
That was that high-scoring game, I think, 34-something. Yeah.
That was an Arrowhead.
Yeah. Right.
But didn't they block a field goal here?
Yeah, Josh Kalu, the Nebraska corner.
Yeah. And then what was the game when they beat him like 31-3 here? God, they all run together at some point. Right? Blocked. Was it 21 season?
I thought, yeah. No? Yeah. I thought it was 19.
All right, hang on.
Listen to us.
You got me all over the place.
I know, man.
While Chase is looking it up, how crazy would it be if they gave Mike Vrabel the microphone before the game? And he
they
said,
will now.
I'm just, hear me out. I'd be like, it's not like this everywhere. Just drops the
that
mic.
That would be hilarious.
That would be funny. Yeah. And or post-game press conference.
Now, if he did that in the post-game press conference, I would go buy Patriots stuff. Because that would be fantastic. 2019, the Titans won 35-32.
That was the blocked field goal.
Okay.
Okay.
So that was it.
Then what's the game where they beat the snot out of him? Was that 21? Like 31-3 or 27-3?
Let's see. Hang on. 21.
Yeah, that was the number one seed year. Ian and I are chatting back here about that.
27-3, yep. That is right. And then the Sunday night football, so it would have been 22 was Malik Willis, right?
Yes.
The next year in Arrowhead, yeah. Lost in overtime, 20-17. That's right.
It's like the Chiefs are going through the motion that game, and Titans had no business hanging around. They did. That was a hell of a coaching job by Vrabel.
Didn't play. So they haven't played them since then?
Since 22, correct. Yeah. Here at home in 21 and here at home in 19. And then beat him in the playoffs in 17.
Okay.
You remember the dude's name that knocked out Kelsey in that game?
Jonathan Cyprian.
Atta boy. Good job.
A.K.A. Sip. Oh, man. Coming up at 9:30, John McClain will join us. By the way, 11:30 today. We're on till noon. The wacky schedule. Hall of Famer Tom Glavine will join the show. We're going to be in Atlanta tomorrow doing our show before the Braves take on the Washington Nationals, so we figured it's got a little baseball flavor. And so Tom Glavine will join us at 11:30 to talk some baseball. But coming up next, the Titans have made some additions to their roster by bringing in a veteran corner. We'll discuss that and much more here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, Joe. I have something that I'm going to throw at you a little bit later. I'm going to add it to our board.
I've seen you throw, so I'm not worried about it.
But Music City Bets just sent me this. We have SEC win totals this year.
Yes.
We'll do those here in a little bit.
Remember last year we were like, Vanderbilt, we got Vanderbilt at 2 or whatever it was, 2.5. And They got 7 wins.
We will do those here in a little bit. But Circa Sports have put out SEC win totals. I always get excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we will definitely dive into that. So as we kind of get ready for the schedule release, again, Jordan Schultz reported last night that he is hearing the Titans will open their season on the road at Denver, which will be a 3:05 Central Time start on Fox. Looks like it's going to be the backup game.
He just put another one out real quick. Not on the Titans. Lions and Vikings on Thanksgiving, 11:30 on Fox. Lions and Vikings.
Okay. That's a pretty good Thanksgiving Day lineup then.
Yep.
Lions, Vikings, Cowboys, Chiefs, and then Rams, Bucks that night.
Another one real quick. The Jags are opening the season against the Panthers.
Yep. So, at home? Yeah, at home. Yep. Travis Hunter will make his debut at home.
Yep.
So you're going to have the number 2 overall pick make his debut at home, but you're going to send the number 1 overall pick out on the road. Okay, gotcha. The Super Bowl rematch, Eagles and Chiefs, will be week 2 in Kansas City.
Yeah, okay. So Kansas City goes to Brazil and comes back up. I mean, there's a lot on that Chiefs. Boy, I mean, that. But look, that's what happens when you're got all the madness around you. People want to be around you. People want to see you.
So, Jay, he also had this one. Jaden Daniels and the Commanders will open their season at home against the New York Football Giants.
Ooh.
Then the home opener for the Giants is week 3, Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs.
Good Lord.
Yeah. I don't know who week 2 is for them. Let's see. Week 1. So the reason I said that the Titans could be the backup game is because I think the featured game on Fox is going to be Packers Lions in Green Bay.
Okay. That's fine.
So that's a good one.
We're tuned into one game here at that time, so that's they could do all they want on those other networks or whatever's going on, but
that's fine.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned going into the break, the Titans signed cornerback Amani Oruwari. I hope I'm saying that right.
Now it got me tongue twisted.
What's
never
that?
Mind.
What's that, smart guy?
No. I'm not that intelligent. I just work here.
No. So what is it?
I saw the pronunciation. I was like Oruwari.
Hey.
Okay.
Again, family show. Careful about what you're saying. Family show.
All right, let's see. Let's see what.
First of all, who is he? Why did they sign him?
He is a corner. Oruwari. Oruwari. Something like that. Whatever. I'm going to call him Amani. How about that?
There you
go.
We're
going to go with Amani. I don't know. They brought in a veteran corner. I guess they're worried about Snead, so they're adding depth to the cornerback room. Okay. And look, this team needs depth. You know, I'm watching. You know, you watch, and I know different sports, but you watch the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs. The teams that are still alive right now have depth.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the Titans' biggest problem has been their depth. You know, so, I mean, and some of the starters.
It's around, I mean, look, College World Series. Why those teams win?
Right.
Why did Tennessee
depth.
Win? Depth, pitching depth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring in all the guys in camp. It's like, bring them all in. Don't question them. Bring them in. See if they can compete. If they can compete and win at starting position, good.
So he was he played 7 games for Dallas last year, started 4 of those, had 1 pick, had 29 combo tackles, 23 solo tackles.
Okay.
Did not play. Played 1 game and got hurt in 2023 for Jacksonville. In 2021, he had 6 interceptions for Detroit.
Wow. All right.
So
he's got some talent. How old is he?
He is 29.
29. Okay. That's not bad.
Under 30. Bring him in. Compete. Now, he wears 27. Is he going to call Eddie and ask for the number? Or we started that trend? Or?
Oh no!
I would just do it just to stir up Stillman.
Why not? Come in, compete, see what you can do. If you don't make it, it's nothing lost on the team,
right?
And do that. Bring as many guys as you can in to get it done. So that's fine. So they need help. I mean, we still haven't figured out who the linebackers are on this team. I think they got the safeties right. They got Amani Hooker. Didn't they sign another safety? Somebody from Carolina or somewhere? Supposed to be decent. Titans.
Yeah.
Forget who it is.
So on our question of the day, a few people have weighed in. Chris in Nashville says, Michael Jordan is the greatest player in NBA history. Is Mahomes the greatest? No way.
No, I'm just saying it currently.
Yeah, currently.
He is the rage. I mean, Jordan was the rage when he played. I'm not saying that Mahomes is Michael Jordan overall, but right now he's the show.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Like Kevin says, seeing Mahomes in person is not really necessary. He's on primetime games all the time. For me, like growing up, to see a person with my own two eyes, not on a television, was a big deal. Like to be able to say, I saw Tom Brady play a game. I saw Peyton Manning play a game. I saw Steve McNair play a game.
Yeah.
Eddie Jordan. Like, that's a big deal to be able to say that, because I think there's just something different about being in the stadium and seeing it. And I feel like people today just don't care about that as much anymore.
Let me ask you this. You're a huge Cowboys fan. Seeing a team in your hometown, the Cowboys playing the Titans, well, I mean, think about how I didn't have that growing up.
Yeah.
You got to have that. Dr. Crane got to have that. To me, that's better than seeing a player. You saw the Dallas Cowboys at Nissan Stadium in October or September of 2006. I mean, that's you can't beat that, man.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I've never been to a game in Dallas, right? So I've seen them play three times. Four times if you count a preseason game in Denver. But three times here. And they had three different quarterbacks every time I saw them play.
The Titans?
No, the Cowboys.
Cowboys, okay.
Bledsoe, Romo, Dak.
Oh, wow. Okay. Not bad.
And then in the preseason game, Dak didn't play. That was Russell Wilson's first year in Denver. I happened to be out there, and so I went to the game, and Russ didn't play, and Dak didn't play. I forgot who started. I guess it was Cooper Rush.
Had you gone to the Christmas game at Nissan Stadium between the Cowboys, you'd have seen another quarterback, because Aikman was out of concussion.
I would have seen Quincy Carter, right? No.
Or Anthony Smith.
Anthony Wright?
Anthony Wright.
Yeah, it was
from
Anthony
South
Wright.
Carolina, yeah. That were awful. Bullock had the interception, the terrible pick six.
That was kind of hit. That's where he got the Mr. Monday Night name, right?
Started, and then he took off from there. Remember that game against the Saints in 07 on Monday night?
So funny story about that game is there was – I think I was going to be able to go, but I had been sick. And
which game?
The Christmas night game. And it was like zero. And so my dad and my uncle were going, and they were doing like a catering thing, and had field passes and all this stuff. And my dad was like, you can't, like, you're sick, buddy. Like, I can't take you out in this weather.
Chaser.
It was, I was very upset.
Sorry.
Yeah. My mom, and then, when he saw I was getting mad, he was like, your mom didn't want you to go. And she's like, don't blame me for this. So it's all good. Coming up next, we'll talk to John McClain, get his thoughts on the schedule rumors and much more here on Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday, and we always enjoy this time because John McClain joins us. He's presented by Maple Street Biscuits, Wake Up to Wow. John, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We are fantastic. We're just sitting here like the rest of the NFL world waiting on this schedule to finally be released so we can quit making predictions and everything. But there's been a few things that have leaked out. There is a report from Jordan Schultz that the Titans will open their season in Denver against the Broncos. Do you like that for a rookie quarterback to get rid of some of the distractions of home and just go out on the road?
I think if you're a rookie quarterback, you're going to be so nervous it won't matter where you're going to be starting, whether it's home or if it's the road. Every player will tell you he'd rather play at home because of the routine. But I think in that instance, it's going to be tougher on the road just because of the opponent. If they had started at Jacksonville or Indy, it'd been different. But the Broncos were a huge surprise last season, and their defense was great. So he's going to be jumping into the fire. It might as well be right off the bat when you're playing in Denver, where he'll have to get used to the altitude as well. But when you're a rookie and your first-round pick, no matter where you are, all eyes are going to be on you.
Yeah, it's funny. You bring up Denver. Bo Nix, I thought, had a, you know, a nice rookie year as well. Sean Payton, a quarterback whisper. Do you think they can sustain that and keep building off that, or did you see that as maybe just a kind of a one-year thing?
I think Sean Payton does a great job of coaching quarterbacks. He knows how Bo Nix fit his system. When he took Nix where he did in the first round, a lot of people gasped because I didn't see anybody had Bo Nix going in the first round. Most of them said he was a second rounder. And then when Payton took him, people were surprised, but I don't think they should be surprised at how he played. And one strength he had, besides Nix being fortunate to go to a really good quarterback coach with a good offense who thought his skill set fit what the Broncos did, all that experience he got at Auburn and Oregon was great. I don't think we're going to see any more Anthony Richardsons with 13 starts become Superman at a combine and then they draft him. I don't think we're going to see that anymore because quarterbacks now are playing so many games, and the more experience they have in college, the more the teams like it.
John McClain is with us. Another game that was officially announced today, Dallas will host Kansas City on Thanksgiving Day, which I think, John, and Joe and I were just talking about this, might be the most watched NFL game of all time. All Thanksgiving festivities need to be done by 3:30 Central Time on Thanksgiving Day.
You know, it is interesting because the Chiefs are such a big draw. I don't know. The Cowboys are always a huge draw. That first game against Philadelphia, that's going to set a standard for the ratings. Do you guys, I guess you're old enough to remember, they used to start the game, the season on Labor Day, and the ratings started low. Now, I don't know if the NFL has transcended that anymore, but so many people would be out and traveling, the ratings would be bad, and the NFL said no more. And so they haven't since. And I don't know when they go to 18, if they'll start it on Labor Day and see if it matters anymore. But I can't imagine a more attractive first game, the defending Super Bowl champions against a team everybody watches so they can love them or hate them. And at that point, you know, the Cowboys and their fans will think they're going to the Super Bowl, so they get a big buildup.
John, how was the schedule released when you first started covering the Houston Oilers?
Joe, that's very interesting because the team would call you and tell you what it was, and radios would put it on immediately on talk shows. TVs would have it that night, and newspapers, we'd write the story, and it'd be in the next day. And I know, and then when they got, let's see, when it started being on ESPN, they would announce it, but they would be like key games. And then when they had faxes, it would be faxed out. And then of course, once they had the internet, it made it so easy, but it was interesting. Like in with the Houston Oilers, when they send it out, I'd want to know, okay, who are they playing in the first game and where are they playing the AFC Central games against Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Cleveland, and then what cold weather, any good cities that I was going to go to, and that's all. And you just write a story, and I'd have to do a prediction story on each game.
Wow.
But it just wasn't that big of a deal.
And the thing now is, and the way the NFL has made the schedule release so popular, I mean, hats off to the NFL, John, because we're sitting here talking about being released and this and that. I think they've done a remarkable job making a simple schedule release really a must-see, much-watch kind of item.
That NFL PR machine is like no other. We've known since the season ended. You know, when the Titans played the last game, you know who they were going to play. And that's another thing. It's not like, oh, wow, they're going to play this team or that team. We've known. We've known where they're going to play at home, where they're going to play on the who they're going to play on the road. But, yeah, we're all dying for it because of the way they've done it. I think international games they get a lot of attention. A lot of people think, I know here, people got fans and media got their hopes up Texans to play an international game. And the Colts are and the Jaguars are, and the Titans and the Texans are not. But realistically, there's no coach in the NFL wants to play an international game. None. They won't admit it publicly because they can't do that. The team in the league would get upset at them. And eventually, they're going to go to India. They're going to go to China. And as I've told people, the biggest stadium in the world is North Korea. It has 150,000. So they might as well go there. And if the fans and the North Koreans could put a gun to their head and make them buy tickets to sell 150,000, and that would break the all-time record. And the reason they go overseas, of course it's to spread the brand, but it's because of gambling. All those countries have been gambling a lot longer than we have. And so they want them gambling on the NFL. And when tickets get bought up in like 3 minutes after Berlin had 2 million people in trying to buy tickets, then that's what that all the streaming services want a part of that, because they're like, well, if we can do that game, we're going to have more people buy our service because they're becoming fanatical about the NFL.
John McClain is with us. So we've been kind of sitting here speculating that the Patriots game might have an opportunity to be a primetime game in Nashville with the Titans. And so we've kind of had some fun with that. But with Mike Vrabel's return, how do you think Amy treats that? Does he get the video? Does he get the whole welcome back? Or, you know, how do you think that's going to go?
Well, I think, I mean, there's not a lot of hard feelings the way it ended up. Mike getting to go back, not where he started, but where he had his greatest seasons and what he did for the Titans to get to the championship game. And I would think, yes, it would be a first-class thing to give him a tribute video.
We will find out for sure. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
All right, welcome back to the Chasing Big Joe Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, The Game. Let's continue our conversation with the great John McClain, brought to you by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. John, I want to ask you another follow-up on the schedule questions. Was there ever a time where an owner influenced the schedule? And I ask this because, like, LSU every year says, we don't want day games. Give us all night games on the college level. Has there ever been a situation where NFL owner has influenced a schedule?
I'm sure that there has been, but it's not the kind of thing that would get out. I couldn't tell you a specific example. I know the league, in the old days, and I guess it does some today, if there was a playoff game that was really good, they would have those teams play again. Like I remember in 1980, the Oilers were coming off two consecutive AFC championship game losses at Three Rivers Stadium. And people thought in 1980, the Oilers, their third time would be the charm and they would overtake them. And they finished 11-5, but they had the Oilers go to Pittsburgh. And it seemed to me it would have been more fair to have the Steelers come to the Astrodome, but they had the Oilers go up there, and the Steelers beat the hell out of them again. And I'll never forget that game because back then I flew on the charter, and I was sitting in my assigned seat, and their center, Carl Mock, came on the plane screaming and yelling at me, just screaming to get off the plane, call me every name in the book. Players are looking up like, what's the matter with Mock? And he comes up and grabs me and starts yanking me out of my seat while he's screaming at me. And I had my seatbelt on, so I wouldn't come out. And I'm like, he's pulling me, and I'm going, what the hell is the matter with you? And he stops, and he said, you picked us to lose, you MF. You're not flying on our charter. You picking us to lose. And then I'm like, well, I don't pick games. And he said, I saw it in the Chronicle today. I said, that was an AP. That's Associated Press for you, Carl. Associated Press writer did it. And he looks around, where is he? I'll throw him off the plane. And I said, he's in New York. And Bob Phillips tapped him on the shoulder and says, Mock, sit down and shut the bleep up and save it for Lambert.
I love that.
And Lambert kicked his butt. And after I got back on that plane, I didn't say a word when I walked by him. It was hard not to. but I know he'd have been all over me.
Absolutely. Current news, this Trey Hendrickson thing with the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, now it's gotten personal. He said, she said, and everything. How do you see this playing out? Because, you know, pass rushers in the National Football League, you can't find those things at Dollar General. I mean, they're hard to find. How's this going to work out for this, both guys?
I think they'll get it done, but I thought, man, that was really stupid for Zach Taylor to get involved. Coaches never get involved in contract situations at all, and this is the reason. According to Hendrickson, Taylor sent him a text saying he'd be fined for missing the mandatory minicamp. Well, of course he would be. Why go out of the way to do that and antagonize the guy? Big mistake by Taylor. And once it gets into the coach, it gets personal. And the Bengals have always been one of the cheaper teams. They took care of their offensive players. I don't blame Hendrickson for being upset. Even though he's under contract, he sees Max Crosby. He sees Myles Garrett making over $30 million a year. And they can force him to come back and play, and they can fine him a fortune, according to the collective bargaining agreement. But it's ugly. It could get uglier. But Joe Burrow needs to come out like he did on offense and say, we got to have him, because their defense is not good to begin with, and he's their best player.
Yeah, you talk about, you know, when both sides are battling like that. You know, it's weird you talk about coaches getting involved. I remember one time, you know, John, it was the Titans, and seeing Jeff Fisher come into the locker room and talk to a player, I'm like, why is he, you know, the coach never comes in the locker room and, like, to your point, never gets involved in a contract. Was Bum or when you were in Houston, did they ever do that, or is that a no-no?
Well, Bob Phillips was the general manager and head coach. He didn't do the contracts, and he tried, but he had, as the GM, you're supposed to be on management side. As a coach, you're supposed to be on the player's side. And when you're both, it's a fine line, and you learn how to walk it. But most head coaches, if you're talking to a player about your contract, you're being sympathetic to him. But you got to be, you always have to be careful, because the player, if you tell him, man, we need you, this, he might come out publicly and say, well, he says that they need me. Why doesn't the owner feel that way? I believe they'll get it worked out. They've got plenty of time to do it, and he'll be back as their best player, defensive player, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL again.
Well, what was, when you covered the Oilers back in the day, what was the biggest holdout that just got so nasty? You're like, oh, my goodness, this is bad.
Well, back then, there was no – the only deadline for a player signing was the trade deadline in October. So the Oilers would have players hold out till October. Lonzo Highsmith, running back from Miami, he was the third overall pick in 87, and he held out all the way to the trade deadline in October. And then they drafted Jim Everett, quarterback from Illinois, in 86, even though they had Warren Moon. And people took it as a shot at Moon. It was huge controversy, but they did that. It was very shrewd of the GM, Lad Erzy, because he couldn't get a deal worked out for that pick before the draft, so he drafted him, waited till teams got in battles, and he made the trade to the Rams at the trading deadline for players and picks that helped him make the playoffs 7 consecutive years. So you don't see that anymore. Every once in a while, you'll see a Trent Williams sit out the season, but it costs them a fortune now to sit out the season. One offensive tackle, Harvey Salem, first pick in the second round in 83, an instant starter at right tackle on a line that had Bruce Matthews, Mike Munchak, Dean Steinkuhler. He didn't want to play because he was mad at Lad Erzy, the GM, not paying him. So he started blasting Lad with me, and I'd run the stories. And because he wasn't there, Jerry Glanville, his first year to get in good with the GM, went in and took his nameplate off his locker and put it over the toilet. And that was really stupid because the players didn't like that. And so he told Harvey. Harvey told him, I want to be traded onto a West Coast team, because he was from the Berkeley area. So he traded him to Detroit. Harvey Salem goes in and says, why did you trade me to Detroit? I don't want to go to Detroit. He says, well, you bleeped me in the Chronicle, so I'm bleeping you now. So get the bleep out of my office and go to Detroit. And he did.
I love that. I just, you know, still at the end of the day, it's like we're back in high school again with everything. We got a couple of questions on our text line. Getting back to the Cam Ward conversation about the first game. Somebody says, what would it mean, John, if all things were equal, if Will Levis beats out Cam Ward for the starting quarterback job?
Well, he could, because he's got 2 years of experience and Ward has none. There's no guarantee he's going to start the first game. And I'll tell you this, Ward's going to have to earn it. Head coaches know when you're going to give a guy a job like that, the players have to know the guy earned it, because you don't want to lose respect to the players. So this is the way they did it with C.J. Stroud here. They had him number two to Davis Mills, returning starter, early in camp. Then they had him splitting the first team reps. And it wasn't before the week before the season when D'Amico Ryans officially named him the starter, even though we knew he would be the whole time because he was the better player. We could all see that. So I think people will see that Ward is the best, but you've got to make sure the players understand it.
Is it crucial, John, that Cam Ward plays a lot in these three preseason games?
Absolutely. I'm guessing, have a joint practice or two. Those are so important for rookie quarterbacks because coaches can control them. Those are so much more important than practices, than games, because you can do exactly what you want, program to see exactly what you want. So I would think they'll have joint practices. That'll be great for him, and you'll see him playing significantly in preseason.
We pay a lot of attention, obviously, to Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville here in Tennessee. But with C.J. Stroud, a new offensive coordinator coming in and everything, last year wasn't, you know, the old sophomore slump. For your indications, all things going okay with the new coordinator and everything for C.J. Stroud in year three?
Well, they're never going to say if it wasn't. But Nick Caley, their coordinator, came from the Rams. He turned down two other opportunities to come here and work with Stroud, and they drafted two receivers and offensive tackle, their first three picks. They've loaded up with five new offensive linemen. So I know Stroud's got to be happy, considering he was the second most sacked quarterback and got pressured more than any quarterback in the NFL did. And it's amazing how bad their offensive line was, and they still went 10-7, beat the hell out of a team in the wild card round before losing on the road. But Kaylee's a great talker, I'll say that. And I liked Bobby Slowick. I was surprised that he was not able to adjust to what other teams were doing after seeing Stroud for a year. Like, teams will be playing Cam Ward a whole lot different in his second year after the coordinators watch every single throw he makes this season. And then the Titans have to adjust to what they're doing. Slowick was not able to do it, mainly because his offensive line was pathetic.
Yeah, it sure was. John, as always, this is the best part of the week, my man. We appreciate you very much, John. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you very much, as always.
That's the great John McClain, brought to you by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. Nick, did you have any questions you want to ask? John, he's gone now, but you can ask me. Nothing. You can talk on the microphone. It's okay.
Sorry. I was in another pod. I was recording something back here. So, yeah.
All right, that's good. All right, thank you. As always, we love talking to John. We'll take a break, come back. We got two more hours for our question of the day is, you have to go to one football game this year at home. You're going to go see Mike Vrabel and the Patriots and his return to Nissan Stadium, or you're going to go see Patrick Mahomes, the Michael Jordan currently of the NFL. You got two choices there with that happening. And again, coming up next, though, win totals for all SEC football teams are out, and there's a few that absolutely – will surprise you. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, right here, brought to the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.